Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
Hallelujah! Has He been good to you? Has He been good to you? Has He been faithful to you? Well, then why don't you give Him praise like He deserves it? Let's go! Yeah! All right. Is it okay if we have some church tonight? All right, I want you to talk to the person on your right and your left. Say, excuse me, neighbor. So you're going to be sick of me. He's one of those guys that says, turn to your neighbor all the time. So go ahead and introduce yourself, just to let them know that you're going to get sick of me tonight. Oh, you're going to be sick of me. Can we celebrate 4 years one more time? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Great things He's done. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet, and He won't. Do you believe that? I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life, but I can't go any further unless I talk about this great man over here, Dr. Charles McVitie, and his beautiful, beautiful wife, Dr. Jennifer McVitie. Y'all make some noise for them right now. And I got to make some noise for my brother and my sister, Pastor Ryan McVitie and Pastor Lindsay McVitie. Y'all make some noise for them right now. My church family is here, Revival Time. Y'all make some noise for them right now. And my wife and the kids, make some noise, make some good noise for them right now. All right, that's enough noise. I'm gonna read the scripture for you. We're gonna have some word tonight. God gave me a word for you. Are you ready to receive it? Now, sometimes you won't be able to say amen, but you're gonna have to say ouch. But I want you to know I learned something, that conviction is a gift. Tell your neighbor, conviction is a gift. When you feel that little part in you that goes, tonight I want you to say ouch and say thank you, Lord. Is that all right? All right, turn with me if you have your Bibles. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. We're going to get right into the word tonight. Jonah 1, 17. Now begin reading. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's jump over to Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me deep into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Do you believe it? All right, I want you to have a seat, but before you sit down, some of y'all are already seated, but before you sit down, just look at somebody. Just tell them, you look real, real, real good tonight. You look real, real, real. You're looking good tonight, man. You're looking real good. I mean, come on now, come on now. In the 1929 Rose Bowl, that's a college football game, by the way. Anybody like college football? Am I the only one? Just a few more. Oh, go back. All right. Georgia Tech played against UCLA. And a player for UCLA by the name of Roy Riegels, he recovered a fumble in the first half of the game. And when he recovered this fumble, he picked it up and he raced for the goal line. The only problem with this was he was running the wrong way. He was running the wrong way. And fortunately, one of his teammates tackled him just before the goal line because he would have scored a touchdown for the other team. And so when halftime came, Roy Riegels and the rest of the team went into the locker room. And as you can imagine, it was pretty intense in the locker room. The coach didn't even say anything until about 2 minutes or 3 minutes before it was time to go back out on the field. And he told the team, go back out and fight hard. Then he went on to say, the same ones who started the game will start the second half. Roy Riegels was sitting over in the corner of the locker room crying. He knew what had happened. And the players went out, and the coach went out, but then he looked back and he saw Riegels still sitting there. And he said, come on, man, this includes you. You heard what I said. Those who started the first half are going to start the second half. Riegel said, coach, I can't. I'm embarrassed. I've embarrassed the team. I've embarrassed myself. I can't go out and face all of those people. I just can't do it. And Coach Price looked at him and said, Riegels, the game is only half over. Get out there and get going. And wouldn't you know it, Roy got up. And he went out and he played the game of his life. Riegel's teammates said they'd never seen a guy play football like that the way he played that second half. Roy Riegel's got a second chance. When you get turned around in life and you start heading in the wrong direction, remember that the game is not over. You can get things back on track. Do you believe it? River, coaches don't kick athletes off the team because they made a mistake. They allow them to make mistakes, and then they give them another chance to get it right. Now, I know you might be sitting next to some bougie people in here who never make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who have made mistakes and still make mistakes, we are glad that God didn't kick us off the team. We are glad that God handles us with a pencil and not a pen. Now there goes you bougie people again. You're too bougie to use a pencil. You only use a laptop. But for those of us that use pencils, you'll know that pencils are made with an eraser. The maker of the pencil presumed that whoever will use it will make a mistake. So you don't have to throw away the pencil or the person who used it. You just flip it over to the other side, erase your error, and try again. Some of y'all are really quiet right there, but if you're not thankful for anything else, you ought to be thankful that God gives you a chance to erase your mistakes and start all over again. River family, for those of us who are not familiar with Jonah was a prophet who preached God's word to Israel. And one day, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them. God said that their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah didn't like that idea because Nineveh was Israel's enemy. And he wanted to have nothing to do with helping them. So Jonah ran from God. So instead of going toward Nineveh, he went the other way, down to Joppa. And he got on a boat headed toward a place called Tarshish. But God saw him on that ship and sent a violent storm across the sea. The sailors on the ship panicked and figured out that Jonah was the one to blame. He was the reason for the storm. So they threw him overboard. And the moment that Jonah hit the water, the storm stopped. Verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Verse 17, which is our opening verse, says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish and swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So all of chapter 2 is wrapped up in chapter 1, verse 17. Everything that happened in chapter 2 is shown to us in chapter 1, verse 17. But you read it too fast. The text said the Lord had prepared. Let me try it again. The Lord had prepared. I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to try it over here. The Lord had prepared. No. I like you people over here. It said the Lord had prepared. All right, I'm going to try y'all right here because you guys are acting funny. The Lord had prepared. What this means is the Lord didn't need to prepare. The Lord wasn't preparing. It says the Lord had prepared. That's past perfect tense. That means that before Jonah was ever thrown overboard, God had already spoken to a fish and said, catch this guy before he drowns. River, we messed up. We messed up and we were on our way to death. But God already had a way out and a way to catch you before you drowned. As a matter of fact, God had a way out before you knew that you needed a way out. Some of you might have forgot that you needed God to work out your problem. But I'm so grateful tonight that God worked out how I was going to come out even before I got thrown in. So the Lord had prepared. The Lord had prepared a great fish. And one of the things I love most about God is that he is a provider. If you believe that he is a provider, tell somebody, he's my provider. Come on, tell somebody and be convincing. Say, he is my provider. What makes him a good provider is that he sees before. Let's look at the word provide. The etymology of this word provide is, it's Latin. It's pro is before, vide is to see. Pro, before, vide, to see. So he sees it before. It's provision. Are you getting it? God sees it before it happens. This is why God is omniscient and omnipresent. Because watch this, God's solution is always older than the problem. Come here. God's solution is always older than the problem. He never tries to figure out the solution after the problem happens. The problem is trying to catch up to the solution. Somebody shout, he had prepared. Before it happened, he had prepared. Before it hurt, he had prepared. Before I fell, he had prepared. The problem is never ahead of God. The problem is late to the party. The problem is just catching up to the solution. And God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah to prevent him from drowning. The end of chapter 1 introduces us to the response of Jonah in chapter 2. Look at verse 1. It says, then Jonah prayed. Jonah turned the guts and the intestines and the stomach of a whale into his prayer closet. Sometimes, River Fam, the worst place to be in is the best place to pray in. It stinks down here, but I'm praying. It's nasty down here, but I'm praying. This is not where I want to be. This is not what I planned for. This was not my destination or place of disembarkment, but I'm going to pray right here, right where I am. Let me ask you a question. River, have you ever had to pray in an uncomfortable place? Have you ever had to pray in an unfamiliar place? Have you ever had to pray in a dark place? It's not where I want to be or where I plan to be, but I'm turning this place into an altar. I'm calling on God right here and right now. I don't care if it's not ideal. I don't care if I look crazy. Amen. Because oftentimes, y'all, the worst place to be in is the best place to pray in. This place, this situation, it's a very interesting place of prayer. The text says, then Jonah prayed. And I'm so glad that Jonah prayed. But the interesting part of this sentence is not the word prayed. The interesting part of the sentence is the word then. Somebody say then. Then Jonah prayed. And you and I have to ask this question, because this is a critical turning point in the life of Jonah. Because Jonah ends up doing what he said he wasn't going to do. When he got on the boat in chapter 1, he said he wasn't going to do this. In chapter 1, when the storm came, they told everybody, start calling on your God. Jonah said, I'm not calling on God. I'm going to sleep. And they woke Jonah up and said, man, what is wrong with you? Don't you see the storm out there? You need to start calling on your God. And Jonah was in an outright, deliberate, conscious rebellion and protest against God, to the point that he will not call on God, even though desperate people are fearing for their lives and they're asking him to. They're pleading with him to. He's a prophet. I'm not calling on God. But verse 2 says, then Jonah prayed. Somebody please ask me what changed. What shifted Jonah from protest to prayer? What shifted Jonah from insubordination to intercession? What changed Jonah's life that made him do what he said he wasn't going to do? Somebody please ask me what? I'm so glad you asked me. Jonah chapter 1 verse 3 says, he went down to Joppa. Jonah chapter 1 verse 5 said, he went down into the sides of the ship. Jonah chapter 1 verse 5 also says he went to sleep, which means he laid. Jonah chapter 1 verse 15 says they threw him overboard, which means he went down into the water. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 said God sent a fish to swallow him and take him even further down into the belly of the fish and into the depths of the sea. Brothers and sisters, if you are following the Bible through all of chapter 1, it's telling you that Jonah's life was going in one direction. Some of y'all look confused, and I'm worried about you. I'm a little bit. Come here, can you just nudge your neighbor and just say, it's down. Man, I don't know. Why? Because rebellion has a way of sending you down to unprecedented lows. Let me tell you, when Jonah woke up that morning and decided that he was going to protest against God, he never thought in a million years that this protest would have him trapped in the guts of a fish. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be careful when God has called you. I said you got to be careful when God has called you. Because a conscious disobedience can lead to an unconscious descent. Rebellion will take you lower than you want to go. Nobody in their right mind says, today I want to put myself in the guts of a fish. But when you rebel against God, It takes you to a low that you never thought you would go to. You remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? When he walked away from his dad's house, he never knew that a pig pen was in his future. You've got to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, when you rebel against God. It'll take you to a low that you never thought you would go to in your life. Nobody thought, when I woke up today, I'm going to be in the belly of a fish later on. I don't know how many of you swim, but remember the last time you went swimming at the beach or the pool? Y'all were just in the Bahamas. And everybody was jumping around and having a good old time. And what happens when you go underneath the water? It gets quiet real quick, doesn't it? The water muffles all the sounds, doesn't it? And the lower you go, the darker it gets, the quieter it gets. And Jonah is slowly sinking down deeper and deeper, down into the darkness under the pressure of the deep water. And this is where we find Jonah in our text today, sinking further into the darkness, further away from his family, further away from his friends. Down he goes. And the reason why he prayed was he went to such an unexpected low that the low that he was in forced him to call on the God that he didn't want to have anything to do with. And the truth is, some of you are here today. You are not at the river tonight because you and God are on the greatest of terms. Some of you are here because you hit a low. And when you go so low, there's only one direction to look in. The only way to look is up. As a matter of fact, the Bible has a formula for when you are at your low place. It says, I will look to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Some of you aren't here because you want to sing Holy Forever. Some of you aren't here because you want to sing Worthy of It All. Some of you are here because life is lifing and options have run out. Look straight at me so nobody thinks I'm talking about you. When life was good, you didn't have to come. But when life gets bad, oh, we have a come to God moment, don't we? Oh, I know. Life threw something your way and you hit an unexpected low. But what does the Bible say? It says, then Jonah prayed. Because he had gone to a low he had never expected in his life. At some level, I think that he thought he couldn't go to this low because he was a prophet. And he had to go there in order to break his spiritual arrogance. I'm a prophet of the Lord. I can't possibly go that low. You see, some church people believe that because they're in church, they can't go that low. River, be careful how you put your attitude behind your position. Be careful how you put your attitude behind your title. Because God has a way of humbling arrogant church people, just like he has a way of humbling arrogant non-church people. Tell your neighbor, be careful. You may find yourself in a whale belly. You may find yourself in a place where prophets can't go. Let me remind you, River family, pride comes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. You can't afford to be arrogant because arrogance only leads one way. Down, down, down. Then Jonah prayed. What kind of prayer was it? It was a prayer of refocus. Somebody say refocus. The text said when he prayed, he considered where he was. And he had to look back at what he left behind. Let's look at it. He said, then I said, it's verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again to the holy temple. He said he's going to fix his focus and his prayer toward the holy temple. Now, wait a minute. He's in the belly of a fish. There's no windows there. There are no doors there. He can't see where he's going. There's no light there. But he's got church on his mind. The temple is where the presence of God is. You missed it. The temple was the address of where the presence of God was. And the very thing that he was running from in chapter 1, when they asked him, where are you going? I'm trying to run from the presence of God. But when he got down in the belly of the whale, the thing that he was running from is the very thing he wanted to run to. It was his point of refocus. Say refocus. Sometimes, River, your lowest point is your turning point. And sometimes you've got to get to that low point so you will turn around. Are you hearing me? Here's what I found out about God. God will let you get mad at him because he knows after a while you're going to need him. It's just like a child. Okay, you want to have your little attitude. Okay, go in your room, have your little attitude all you want. But after a while, you're going to be hungry. Parents, after a while, you're going to want some money. And you can't call nobody but me. The same person that you've got an attitude with is the same person you're going to turn around and need. And brothers and sisters, that's just how God is. It doesn't matter if you're mad with God. The truth is, you're going to turn around and need him at some point. This is a prayer of refocus. For somebody here tonight, this might sound a little bit crazy, but come on here. Come here. The best place for you right now is a low place. Because the low place is turning you around. Say ouch. Your low point is your turning point because it'll make you pray. It'll make you pray and go after the God that you claim you didn't want to pray to. It's not just a prayer of refocus, it's a prayer of revival. Say revival. Watch this. Jonah says in his prayer, verse 6, the Lord brought up his corruption, brought his life from corruption. Now, corruption here in the Hebrew means death and destruction. He literally saw himself dead. This may be why he told them in chapter 1, throw me overboard into the stormy sea. I'm already dead in my own eyes. And one of the saddest things in life is seeing yourself dead while you're still living. But God had to do this so Jonah could really see himself. Because the truth is, God would rather see you uncomfortable in the belly of a fish than comfortable in the wrong boat. Jonah, in this moment, has to own that what he is in is his fault. Ooh, come on, lean in here. If you had obeyed when I told you where and when to go, you would not be in this situation right now. River, hear me tonight. You will reach your turning point when you stop blaming other people for your mess ups. Ouch. When you stop blaming people for things that you ought to be accountable for. Because the truth of it is, it didn't happen because of them. It happened because of you. And it wasn't the devil either. The devil didn't trick you. Nobody lied to you. You lied to yourself. He says this was a time of revival because I had to come face to face with my own bad decisions. In chapter 1, God allowed Jonah to make a bad decision. But in chapter 2, God gave him the power to redeem a bad decision. You are in this fish belly because you consciously walked away from God's will for your life. But thanks be to God, after you saw yourself dead from your own decisions, he knows how to revive you and resurrect you out of your own mess. Come on, can you thank him? Don't worry, we're going to shout in a minute. Jonah said, weeds are wrapped around my head. I've fallen into the depths of the sea, the bottom of the mountains. Now, he can't see it. He's just imagining how this is from where he is inside the whale. But watch the twist. Come here. It's terrible inside, but outside is worse. The whale is preserving his life. It smells, it's humid, it's totally gross, but it's preserving his life. And we need to get to a point, brothers and sisters, that we stop complaining about what we are in and start thanking God because it could be worse. Because outside is actually worse than what you're in. Outside is death. Inside is preservation. And some of you are mad because God shut the door. But what if the door he closed saved your life? You think that you're trapped, but you're actually kept. He's not punishing you, he's protecting you. He didn't forget you, he hid you. Because sometimes preservation looks like isolation. Nudge somebody and tell them, you better thank God you're inside. Because outside is worse. He didn't shut me out, he shut me in. So watch me, it's a prayer of refocus. It's a prayer of revival, but it's also a prayer of rejoicing. All right, listen to Jonah's words. Y'all ready to shout? We're almost there. Jonah said in chapter 2, verse 9, I'm in the fish's belly, but even in here, I'm going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to try it again. I'm in the fish's belly, but even in here, I'm going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I was liking you guys earlier. I'm in the belly. But even in here, I'm going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to try y'all. You guys have been messing around with me today. I'm trapped inside this fish's belly. But even in here, I'm going to give God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So watch this. Jonah didn't only set up an altar in the whale. He's having praise and worship in the whale too. He says, I'm going to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, that word thanksgiving in the Hebrew is the word todah. Everybody say todah. Come on, let the river say todah. It means to sing a song with extended hands. So I want you to try and see this. He's inside the guts of this whale. And the Bible says he's got hands lifted, singing a song. Can you see it? Now, ladies and gentlemen, what you don't know is that Jonah chapter 2, verses 2 through 9, there are at least 6 quotes from the book of Psalms. Now, if you didn't know, many of the Psalms are actually songs. So he wasn't just praying. He was quoting the lyrics from the church's hymn book. While he was inside the whale, he remembered something that happened in church that could sustain him in an unexpected low place. Jonah was able to pull from the songs of the Lord and lift them up in the belly of the whale. And Jonah says, since I'm here in the belly of the whale, I'm going to give God praise. Is there anybody in here that's glad that when I feel down, I can think back to the river worship? And I can sing a song of praise to lift me up. But hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. You missed the miracle. Can I share the miracle with you? The miracle is, it is a belly. It is a belly. Everything in a belly gets broken up and broken down. It gets digested. Everything in the belly is supposed to be devoured and broken and destroyed. But Jonah is in the belly. He is not destroyed. He is not broken.
He's still got his right mind. He can lift up his voice. He can lift up his hands. He can sing his song. Jonah says, I'm going to give God all the praise because I'm in something that should have broke me, but I'm still standing. I'm in something that should have broke me, but I can still give God praise. Somebody shout, yeah. I'm in something that should have broke me. I'm in something that should have destroyed me, and it didn't break me. And since I'm still here, I'm going to give him glory. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight. I said, I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that can give God a belly praise. Come on, give God a belly praise. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. Declare it, I'm still here. I'm still here. It should have broke me. It should have destroyed me. But I'm still here. And it didn't steal my joy. It didn't steal my song. It didn't take my life. Where are the people that can testify? It hasn't broken me yet. I'm going to give God a belly praise. I might be low, but I'm still here. Come on, if you're still here, if it hasn't broken you, send up a shout of thanksgiving. Send up a shout of praise. Come on, shout for the victory. You got the victory. You got the victory. You ought to lift up your hands. Come on. Come on, we're doing a toda. Send up a toda, a praise of thanks, because God is preserving your life. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Come on, tell him, neighbor. Excuse me while I send up a thanksgiving to God, because I should have been broken already. What I'm in is designed to kill me. What I'm in is designed to destroy me. But I'm still here in the midst of it. Shout yes! Hold on. Tap your neighbor, tell your neighbor, hold on. How can Jonah thank God? He's in a mess. How can Jonah thank God? It's unbearable where he is. You might think it's unreasonable to thank God at this moment in time. River, yes, some things can be bad, but God causes all things to work together for your good. The good things and the bad things are working together for your good. So you just don't thank him for all things, you thank him in all things. Paul says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you why you ought to thank him? Because what started in disobedience ended in mercy. Tell your neighbor, what started in disobedience ended in mercy. Adam and Eve were disobedient. Disobedience says you should have been killed. God told you that it was fatal fruit. You were supposed to die, but you walked out and I covered you on the way out. Because what began in disobedience ended in mercy. Jacob wanted to rebel against God's will and actually fight God. I could have killed you, but I let you walk away with a limp and a new name. Because what began in disobedience ended in mercy. David said, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and God could have let me die there, but thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because what began in disobedience ended in mercy. Somebody shout yes. It is on the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And some of us have been disobedient, but it's because of his mercy that you're still here. It's because of his mercy that you're still here. We don't always obey the voice of the Lord, but he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. Is there anybody in here that can thank God that his mercy endured forever? The old church used to sing a song when I was a little boy, and it said, "Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through." Somebody give him praise for his amazing grace and his amazing mercy. Come on. Find three people. Give three people a high five and tell them, "I got mercy on my life." Come on, I got mercy on my life. I thank him for his mercy. God knows I need mercy. God knows I need grace. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, people will leave you because of what they heard about you. But God will stay with you, even though he knows about you. He knows that you're flawed. He knows you're crazy. He knows you make mistakes. He knows you're a mess. But he says, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Is there anybody that can thank God for his mercy? Yeah! Come on, I've got thanksgiving on my lips. Come on, where are my praisers? I've got thanksgiving on my lips. I thank God that what I'm in didn't break me. Is there anybody here with a thank you, Jesus? You might not have all the money you need, but you've got to thank you, Jesus. You might not have everything you want, but you've got to thank you, Jesus. You've got a praise in your mouth. You got a song in your spirit. You got a praise on the inside while you're in the belly of the whale. So watch this. I'm not waiting for him to bring me out. I'm going to give him praise while I'm still in it. I said, I'm not waiting for him to bring me out to praise him. I'm going to praise him while I'm still in it. Can I tell you why? Because I will bless the Lord at all times. Not sometimes, but at all times. His praise shall continually be in my... Somebody give him praise in here. So hold on. I'm almost done. Come on, tap your neighbor and say, he's almost done. So Jonah is in a nasty place. Having church, he's praying and singing, and he's quoting the Psalms. He's raising his hands underwater in a fish. And the last verse says, and God spoke to the whale and told the whale, it's time to let him go. And the Bible says, the whale didn't just open his mouth and Jonah walked out. The text says, it vomited Jonah. Ladies and gentlemen, come here. When you figure out how to get back to God in your low place, God will make what is holding you sick of you. I said, when you figure out how to get back to God, the thing that is holding you, God will make it sick of you. You think that you're sick of it. Oh, no. It's sick of you. And vomiting means you're coming out quickly. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming out quickly. This is going to happen suddenly. Because what is holding me is about to be sick of me. Why don't you start praising God till your neighbor gets sick of you? Because you don't know what kind of belly I'm in. You don't know what's been holding me. But I'm going to praise God until it gets sick of me. Come on and give him praise. So what? I believe that when Jonah started thanking God, when Jonah started lifting up his hands, the fish began to rise. The more songs he sang, the fish had to turn him loose. The more he sang, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. the sicker the fish got, the sicker the fish got. River, send up a praise till what is holding you get sick of you. Come on, come on. Watch me. Depression is getting sick of you. Depression is getting sick of you. Fear is getting sick of you. Anxiety is getting sick of you. That addiction is getting sick of you. That insecurity is getting sick of you. Why? Why? Because it can't stomach what you're becoming. It can't stomach what you're becoming. It can't stomach that you're becoming more like God. It can't stomach that He is about to release you from what is holding you. The deeper that you go in God, the less room hell has to hold you. The bitterness is about to vomit you out. The heartbreak is about to vomit you out. The trauma is about to vomit you out. The confusion is about to vomit you out. What is holding you is getting sick of you because you keep giving Him glory. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Let me get out your way. Let me get out of your way. But for all of you that read this text and are skeptics, it's not possible for a man to stay 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale and still come out alive. I know what you're saying, because you're smart and you have an education. You're saying that the hydrochloric acid in the guts of a whale should have burned him and disintegrated him in no time. And all of you that struggle to believe this story, all right. But if you don't believe it, Jesus did. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 4, as Jonah stayed 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man stay 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And just like Jonah came out on the third day, the Bible says, early Sunday morning, Jesus got up out of the grave with all power in His hands. Somebody shout yes! Jesus got up so that you could get up. Jesus came out so that you could come out. Because whatever is holding you, it's gonna get sick of you. Is there anybody that's ready to come out? Come on, tell somebody, tell neighbor, I'm being pushed out now. And since I'm on my way out, I got to give Him some glory. I praised Him while I was in it. Now I got to praise Him like I'm out of it. The Bible says, watch it. The Bible says that when He vomited him out, He vomited him out onto dry land. Look at your neighbor, tell him dry land. The same God who prepared the fish prepared the dry land. So, what actually looked like random pain was scheduled deliverance. That thing that held you can't hold you forever. Because God has already planned your release date. I dare you to shout like somebody who has already been vomited out. Because what is holding you, it's getting sick of you. Come on, put your arm around your neighbor. Come on, put your arms around your neighbor. Come on, shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Say, neighbor, let's give a fourth anniversary praise. Now send it on up, 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 send it on up. Yeah! Now tell your neighbor, come on, look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I've got 5 reasons why you ought to give Him praise. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why I'm going to give Him praise. Reason number 1, He woke me up this morning. Reason number 2, He woke me up this morning. Reason number three, he woke me up this morning. Reason number four, he woke me up this morning. Reason number five, he woke me up this morning. Somebody give him glory in this place. Yeah! Yeah! God, we thank you. We thank you for this moment. And we thank you that what we're in isn't designed to kill us. It's designed to bring us closer to you. We realize that sometimes the worst place to be in is the best place to pray in. And God, we thank you that our lives are in your hands. We trust you when we can't trace you. Thank you, God. Have your way in us and through us. And thank you one more time for 4 years of the River in Toronto. Yeah!